Today I wanted to make more of a personal video. So about a couple years ago, I created a video on how to heal sexual trauma and how to empower yourself. And that was more of an explanation of the process, but I didn't really share much about my journey. So in today's video, I want to share how I personally heal from sexual trauma and why is it that I do the type of work that I do, because it's deeply connected with that. So I want to start by, setting the stage by saying that actually, like, for me, healing my sexual trauma was my path towards liberation. It was thanks to the process of experiencing the trauma and building an identity around, you know, avoiding the trauma and then breaking out of that identity and finding my power and reconnecting with my body that I really understood my spiritual journey and the purpose of my life. And based on this process that I went through, I've been able to receive some insights and guidance and just very powerful epiphanies about womanhood, about female sexuality and sexuality in general, and about how we can turn something horrible into the most beautiful thing. Like, this is the process of alchemy, to turn lead into gold. So healing this particular wound for me has done that, has turned my inner lead into gold that I am here now sharing with you. So for me, healing from sexual trauma is a long process of empowerment. And as I did this and as I went through my own journey, I am in a stage in my life when now I'm ready to help other women go through that process as well. For the last 3 years, I focus on healing developmental wounds and inner child healing and teaching about the mother wound, the father wound, feminine energy, polarization, beauty, all of those things. And now we get to the point of the journey where it's time to dive deeper into the complexity of sexual trauma. So before I start today's exploration, I'm gonna do a few trigger warnings. Obviously, this conversation is a very delicate subject. If you are a victim of sexual trauma, a lot of the things I say might get very triggered, because you have to remember that I have already gone through a big process, right? And sometimes if I share the epiphany and the conclusion of a process, it might feel like I'm invalidating the part of you that's still in process. So keep in mind, if you are still choosing to listen to this conversation, and you know, take everything with a grain of salt, remain very aware of your body. This is something very complex and is very unique to every woman. We all experience and digest through our traumas in different ways. So please be warned. If this is something that's very recent for you, maybe I don't recommend you watch this. Maybe watch my other video, which I will link somewhere in here in the description or here in the video itself. So you can kind of get a more neutralized perspective on it. So I want to start by sharing that the way that I now see my sexual trauma and the healing process of it, it's actually as a gift. And again, I said that there might be some things I say that might be triggering if you're still in process, like how can something horrible be a gift? Well, this is what I'm gonna explore today. So first I'm gonna be sharing with you all like my story and kind of what happened and the different layers, because it's not for me, it wasn't just like there was an incident and then there was the, you know, recovery from the incident. It was a very complex exploration because there is a nuance to this. And then I'm gonna share my healing journey, how I was able to move through that process. And then at the end, I'm gonna give you some tips on what you can do if you have experienced some form of trauma. So let's just start by, you know, again, trigger warnings, okay? Only watch at your own risk. Sexual trauma, we think based on what the movie says and what society says, that it's just experiencing a rape. And that's it. If that's what you experience, then you have sexual trauma. If you were molested in specific ways, that's sexual trauma. But sexual trauma is so deeply complex. My personal definition of sexual trauma is any sexual advance that wasn't welcome, enjoyed, or understood. See, welcome, enjoyed, or understood. Those are my personal three principles to define sexual trauma on how it felt in my body. So once we get into out of the, it has to be a particular way, but it's just something, a form of sexual advance that came towards me that I was forced to enter because I didn't have the ability to say no, or the strength, or I just didn't understand what was going on. I define that as the umbrella of being under sexual trauma. So my particular story started off in a very foggy way because I was chronically disconnected from my body. I didn't know exactly what I was feeling. I thought my feelings were my thoughts. And, you know, of course I was like, no, of course I have feelings. I feel things. Like I'm an emotional creature. But when you live most of your life disembodied, you don't really know what it's like to really be in your body. And if you don't know something, then you just go your life living like that. So this chronic disconnection that I wasn't aware of was showing up in all of my intimate relationships. Like the way, you know, that I got into relationships and the people that I attracted to into my life, there was always a sense of dissatisfaction and disconnection, you know, in intimate relationships. And there was a part of me, because of my developmental wounds that were not connected to the sexual trauma, but those, you know, developmental mother and father wounds, I was looking for family in partnership. So that of itself, you know, it set up a really rocky foundation, and then you add a lot of unprocessed sexual trauma on top of that, it leads to a chronic disconnection. So the, you know, there were many incidents throughout my life where there was, you know, very inappropriate things that happened and incidents of molestation, but the peak of it all was actually when I was 22 years old, because during that year of my life, I was like in a very self-destructive energy, very chaotic. I was partying a lot. I was living in Miami and just living the crazy life over there. And all my memories from that time are very choppy and foggy. And I couldn't keep my time straight. Like I didn't know what year I was there. I just knew I was like from, you know, 21 to 23. Like that was like the age range for that to happen. But for me, the fact that I couldn't remember that particular period very well, I always blamed it of like, well, I was partying too much, I was drinking too much, I was doing other stuff. So, you know, of course I don't remember. But what I realized was that I had blocked off like different chunks of my life. How did that happen when it happened? I have no idea. You know, like it's always in retrospect that I'm like, wait, how could I not remember? Because it's not like I was 6 or 10 or I was like a child. I was, you know, I was an adult. I'm an adult at 22. I mean, at least that's what society tells you, right? Like you're an adult. So I'm like, how could I as an adult block off so many things? So I decided to, you know, after hitting rock bottom and just realizing I wanted to change in my life because I didn't want to keep living in the way that I was living, that's when I found plant medicine. And I started taking plant medicine with the intention of healing my developmental wounds and healing the mother wound and the father wound and just a lot of pain and unworthiness I was carrying. And in one of those ceremonies, all of the memories from that time of my life came back. And in those memories, a particular incident of being raped by a so-called friend came back. And as the memory came back and the emotional reactions came back and I started processing, and, you know, thankfully because I was in ceremonial space with plant medicine, healing with ayahuasca, it's like everything happened in the ceremony. I was able to purge and release and find resolution and find forgiveness, you know, for myself primarily and then for the other person, and just kind of move through that. But keep in mind, like, you know, this is a heightened psychedelic state of being with the master plant medicine of the world, which for me was, for me personally, is ayahuasca. So it was almost like a compression of the healing journey. Now, the way that I see plant medicine ceremonies is as a spiritual surgery. And whenever you have a spiritual surgery, you have to then recover from the surgery, and then you have to become aware of like the new body that you have. So the real work begins after the ceremony, not in the ceremony. The ceremony is just like an energetic release, and then you have to integrate everything that was processed there. So it was very intense, to say the least, just recovering from that. And what started happening was that there was after that particular ceremony where I remember the trauma and I processed it, I remember sharing with the partner I had at the time what happened, and he got very triggered and he made it all about himself. And he said, like, how could I lie? Because, you know, I was like, no, this is what happened during those years of my life. But after the memories come back, you start filling in the gaps. And I'm like, whoa, like the story is completely different. So he took it personal and shamed me for it. And not only did he shame me to my face there, you know, like we had like a podcast together, and he made it seem like I was out of integrity and I got attacked by people that didn't even know what was happening. So there was this like layer of being persecuted for the wound, and a lot of shame and a lot of guilt for the trauma that I experienced. And I remember in that process that I became very aware. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna fall into like, oh my God, this is happening to me, poor me. Like, I know this is part of the healing process. And, you know, maybe this is just a manifestation of the internalized shame that I have and had for, you know, the trauma that I experienced. And that was just a symptom, you know, to like be attacked by the person that you trust and love the most, and then to be publicly attacked for something that people don't even know what happened. They just assume that me being out of integrity meant that I had cheated or I had like done something, you know, consciously, when in reality I was in a healing process of something very intense. So that of itself, like, begin shifting my entire reality, because obviously my life changed. You know, I left that relationship. Everything in my life got radically different. I had a new perspective about myself. I understood myself better. I'm like, oh, that's why I do this. That's why I'm the way that I am. That's why I hide from these things. That's why I lie about these specific things. Like, it kind of opened my eyes up to another part of myself. And that's when I decided to go back to my homeland and do a plant medicine ceremony with the regional ayahuasca, which it's called Yahe. So they will say it's the same thing. I don't think it's the same thing. I think ayahuasca and Yahe are different in temperament, in strength, in the experience of it. Even the visuals of it are very different. So I was invited by a friend to say, like, hey, I feel like this will really help you, especially with everything that has come to the surface in the last year. So I decided to go over there and do that ceremony. And in that particular Yahe ceremony, I would say it was the most traumatic plant medicine experience of my life, just because what happened in that ceremony, at the moment, I couldn't understand it. It has taken me years of constantly like analyzing that and breaking down the symbols, breaking down the visions of the ceremony, what happened after that ceremony, my decisions after that ceremony, and also begin integrating, you know, in retrospect of like, okay, journaling, all of the tools to break down that particular ceremony. Because what happened there was that from the surface externally, all you could see was that I was like screaming vulgarities, and I was just like making a lot of like sexual comments, and I was like in a hyper sexualized energy, but it was extremely aggressive. So the shamans tied me down, and the more force they'll try to like put on me, like the more irritated and the more I got. And I wasn't conscious for any of this. This is just what I've been able to like pick up from what people told me and from like the little glimpses I have of that ceremony, because my consciousness was like, I was like in some other realm, just like being cleansed by the moon. So my experience was very peaceful, but what was going on the physical plane was extremely aggressive and intense and, you know, and very sexual in nature. So of course, after that, there's another wave of shame, because some of the shamans were upset with me. They said that I was possessed. Some of the other shamans were saying like, oh, you must have blah, blah. Like they were trying to diagnose me and put me in a box instead of with curiosity asking what happened. But that the reason why it happened that way is because it was my job and it was my journey, and that's how I chose it, that I wanted to really dive deep into what is this? What is the energetics of healing from sexual trauma, and why is there such an intensity? And what I was able to realize in that is that, first of all, there's this element of shame and guilt that is always around sexual trauma. And this isn't only my case from that ceremony. This is something that I have noticed in all of the women that I've talked to that have experienced sexual trauma. For some reason, also when I was doing coaching and now that I'm doing like tantric mentorships, I attract a lot of clients, not all of them, but a lot of clients that have experienced sexual trauma. So it's like vibrationally, I'm in an energy of like, okay, this is the realm in which life is inviting me to really expand on and express. So that shame and guilt, that's something that I was able to master the healing of when I started like learning to heal my mother wound. And when I started teaching about healing the mother wound, there was also flares of shame and guilt because the mother wound, it's related to our emotions and our ability to welcome, receive, and accept all of the emotions that we feel without shaming or disassociating or rejecting or separating different parts of ourselves. So I had already done that. So whenever the shame and guilt came back, I was like, all right, I can work with this. I can process this. And I was able to move it very quickly through it, just like observing the shame and the guilt. Observe, observe, observe. And as you observe without judgment, the energy gets released and there's more spaciousness. And then, you know, you realize, okay, this, like, it's okay. The world doesn't have to approve of me or accept of me or understand me. I have to give that to myself, and I have to be able to honor myself and my story and remember my innocence, because the world is not going to remind you of your innocence, especially if you are in a vibration of that energy where there was a trauma and everything in your life kind of becomes a little distorted. You're going to live in a reality that perpetuates that cycle of shame and guilt. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. There's going to be the witch trials, you know, of like, people attacking you for your decisions in sexuality, in love, in romance, in how you choose to dress, in how you choose to act. Like, that's just, I what I realized is like I became awakened in this reality that this was just the mirror back of that sexual distortion, but it wasn't reality, see? And that's where I feel like my delusional side really helped, because I refused to believe that, you know, that was me, or that was an accurate reflection of me. I'm like, this is an accurate reflection of that wound, but it's not an accurate reflection of who I really am. And even though I cannot see who I really am, I feel it in my heart. And I know the root and the core of that part of myself is innocence. And that's what I anchored into in this healing process. So as I started integrating from that ceremony, that just felt like, if I could describe a feeling, it's almost as if I've experienced in ayahuasca before kundalini risings, and you know, there's a lot of things that happen to a body whenever the kind of like the kundalini rises and it starts like clearing all of your energetic points. But in this ceremony, it wasn't like a smooth spiral energy that went up. It was an explosion. Not only did it explode me up because I went into lunar energy, very soft, gentle place, but it exploded outwardly into like the body started like acting out. All of the repressed trauma, despair, aggression, lust, all of the energy that was imprinted on my physical body from what I've received throughout all the different incidences of sexual molestation and harassment and actual abuse, it just expressed itself out. Like, it acted itself out to release the energy, to reverse the polarity. And in that moment, you know, like, there was a sense of empowerment. It was almost like taking something that was slaving me, because that's what it felt like. And I just like reversed it. And then all of a sudden I was holding it. I was guiding this energy. Almost like, you know, I don't know, like a good way to explain it is, you know, if the princess that's trapped in the tower by the dragon, and then instead of waiting for the externalized, you know, masculine to come in and save the princess, it's almost as if the princess like confronted the dragon and she started riding the dragon. That's what happened, and that was the liberation. And that's when I started feeling just grateful for the trauma I had, because had I not experienced any of that, I wouldn't have been forced by life to really get a hold of sexual energy and understand it. And this leads me into the path of Tantra. So I was introduced to Tantra when I was 22 years old, but I was introduced into the red and black tantric paths by somebody that I met, some guy from Kashmir, and he was just very distorted, but I was very confused at that time in my life, and that's during that year that I experienced the sexual trauma myself. So during this time, I experienced kind of like the darker manipulative side of Tantra, almost like whenever you have somebody that uses a philosophy and then flips it to their advantage to gaslight and confuse other people and disvalidate their emotions and feelings. That's what this character was doing. So in my dipping the toe into the world of Tantra at that age, I was like, oh, I don't like this, you know? And then I got reintroduced to white Tantra a few years after that, which felt a lot safer, but it just didn't fully resonate with me. So after this particular ceremony and all the events that happened in my life after that ceremony, because I entered into a new relationship, I changed countries, I changed my career, I let go of my old life, I started brand new. Like there were just, it was like way too many changes too quickly that I still did not understand. I was just, you know, following the thread of life where life was guiding me. That's when I started learning about Tantra all over again and kind of tapping into the teachings that I received when I was 22 with the, you know, manipulative ways of using Tantra and sexual energy, and then into the white Tantra practices that I learned. And then I found Shakta Tantra, right? Which is, it's a left hand type of Tantra that works with the 10 Tantric goddesses, the 10 Mahavidyas. Basically, it's a way of observing the world and life. And everything that exists is Shakti, and Shakti has 10 faces. And those 10 faces, you can get to know and build relationship with each of one of those faces. And it's almost like it's here, like it's all present. It's just a lens to look the world from, you know, a specific perspective. Under this context, once I found this path and I felt grounded and I finally held on to my innocence as the core of who I am, regardless of what the people around me or the world around me said, that's when my real work really began. That's when I started observing all of the changes and the transformations that came through, you know, alchemizing this trauma and getting all the energy from years of trauma that was just there in the body, imprinting my life and attracting certain, you know, patterns in my life. And I was just stuck in this loop of repeating the same story over and over and over again with different characters, different costumes, but basically the same energy. That's when I was able to pull away from it and just tap into the raw power of sexuality. So if I were to break down the specifics of my healing journey, I will say it started off first with the awareness of what sexual trauma was to me outside of what, you know, like conventional legal terminology means. This isn't about the legal terminology. This is about the experience of the body, in the body of the person that experienced the trauma itself. Only that person is able to define whether it was trauma or not, whether it was something that wasn't either not welcome, not desired, or not understood. And if that's the case, then I'm like, that falls under sexual trauma. So the awareness of that was the primary liberation that I had. So I'm like, oh my God, like there was just so much of that around me and a lot of gaslighting about it. I'll give you a quick example. In my culture, basically, like back in, you know, not that long ago, basically, it was impossible for you to be raped by your husband because he was your husband. Like, are you kidding me? Talk about collective gaslighting of the feminine, of the body. Like, it's almost like we don't belong to ourselves. So for me, feminine empowerment is about sexual empowerment. Why? Because that is the thing, like that is the root of our life force. So in order to begin tapping into the power of that energy, we first have to become aware of the trauma that energy has experienced, especially in our personal stories and also collectively. But it starts with us, right? Like first me, and then I can focus on the collective. If not, I can get lost into the others without really tapping into my own body and my personal trauma. the second key element here is to allow ourselves to feel the feelings. Whenever we're in the process of healing from sexual trauma, like I said, there's going to be shame and guilt. There's going to be rage, anger, despair, confusion. And these feelings are just, they're so difficult to be present with. When you're in the energy of despair, you just want to escape yourself. And that's the invitation. Can you feel, can you observe despair and just feel the feeling and maybe express it and scream and move it out? But can you be present with the feeling? Because when we're present with the feeling, that's the alchemy. Like, that's the magic of it. It's not about like feeling, avoiding, because we get trapped in another one of those loops. This is about feeling and surrendering to the feeling and just asking ourselves, like, how much of this can I feel? Like, show me the limits of the depth of which I can feel. And that's how you allow yourself to bring your conscious awareness and your presence into the deepest, more intense feelings, especially those feelings like despair or the energy of confusion. That's another energy that brings a lot of despair, because you're like, I don't understand. And there is this, like, you know, the mind keeps like breaking and breaking and breaking, and to be able to be present with that as well. So mastering the art of feeling feelings, it's connected to the mother wound, our capacity to accept all of our feelings and observe them without shaming them, pushing them away, escaping, or just checking out. That is the healer's gift. That is to heal. To heal is to feel. To feel with that neutral awareness of I observe without judgment. It's just what's here. And the third point and very powerful thing that I learned in these ceremonies, and then also in the integration process of those ceremonies, is that the energy needs to be reversed. So all of this energy that was in, it needs to come out. It needs to express itself. There are multiple ways of expressing itself. I'm not particularly talented at making art or creating things with my hands, really. I'm more of a talker and I move my body a lot. So for me, it was an expression of my voice and my body and shaking and all this animal energy and expression of all of the lust that was trapped in my body from people that projected that energy onto me without me understanding what that was, and just, you know, getting stuck in it because you don't have the tools or the skills to really transmute that energy, especially when it happens when you're very young. So all the energy needs to be reversed. For that, you need space and you need power and you need courage to allow yourself to go there. To go through this process, you have to master the art of self-holding emotionally. Whenever we're in this very tender or very intense emotions, we want somebody else to hold us, to listen to us, to be there with us. And maybe, you know, that's something that you can get through therapy and through coaching and through like getting somebody. But this is an asterisk. There's a correlation between sexual trauma and poverty. So a lot of the times, women that are struggling with this, they don't have the resources to go hire somebody. And this is the importance of self-holding. And this is where it's a gift as well. Because if you don't have the funds to go and get somebody to help you, you have to do it yourself. I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to get out of it, you're going to have to, or just wait until somebody helps you. But I'm more of a do-it-yourself person. So I think that the fact that that was the case, it allowed me, it forced me to learn how to self-hold emotionally and how to just hold myself through it all, even if the whole world was screaming the opposite. You know, if like I'm in an energy of like my core is innocent and the world is like, no, it is not. You are XYZ. I was self-holding in my knowing that I am innocent, and I was self-holding in all of my emotions. And I learned to create containment within myself. The energy of containment is connected to the father wound. So you see how it's all weaving together with like developmental wounds, and how if you had a lot of developmental wounds, mother and father wound, on top of that sexual trauma, is like your destiny is to become a very powerful, badass lighthouse for other people. That is your destiny, because the polar opposite was what bred you, was the mud of where you come from. So the lotus that you will bloom into holds the opposite of that, which means you become that. And this is the gift of healing. those kinds of trauma. Not saying the trauma is a gift. It's the healing process and what you learn about yourself whenever you take ownership of your life, your emotions, of your spiritual well-being, and of your destiny by holding yourself and taking yourself through this process. As shame and guilt get clear from the body, there is a reconciliation that happens with the body. And this is a very beautiful process because it's almost like getting to know somebody new. It's like entering into a new relationship. We think that because we live in the body and you know, it's like it's with us every single day that we know it. But when there is something traumatic happening to the body, there's a lot of, you know, unplugging from it, disassociation, because it doesn't feel safe to be in the body. So as we return to the body, and as we begin to know different sensations in our body, we get to discover this brand new world of things that we didn't even know were there. This isn't just like, oh yeah, I feel like my stomach, I feel my breath in my heart. Like this, there's a mystery in the body. There's a deep mystery. And there's a lot of mysteries into the yoni, into a woman's yoni. There's a book called the Yoni Tantra. And the Yoni Tantra is a tantric text that talks about the worshiping of the yoni and women as carriers of the yoni. This transformed my life, finding this text, because it's simple, it's short, it looks very straightforward, but the more you meditate on it and the deeper you dive into what it's really saying, what's hiding behind the very obvious, that's when you start uncovering the feminine mysteries of your own body. So this is repairing the relationship with our body, where we start like entering the body all over again energetically and really getting to know all the sensations there. One of the most beautiful and empowering things that happens in this process of returning to the body is the beginning of understanding our sexuality. And whenever we begin understanding our sexuality and sexual energy, and we heal that connection between the yoni and the throat, we become the voice of our bodies to teach others how is it that this particular individual, unique body likes to be addressed in sexuality. And collectively, sexuality is something that is so distorted, you know, for many reasons. And, you know, you have young boys that learn what sex is through pornography, and so young girls learn the same, and it's basically enslaving themselves to like almost animal-like ways of expression. And we are animals, but we're sacred animals. Sacred animals with a direct connection to our spirituality. And whenever we're able to merge our spiritual selves with our sexual selves and bring in divinity into the animal, that is the height of human expression. So creating that connection between the yoni and the throat will allow you to express what are the unique needs of your body, because they're unique from every single person on this world. There are certain parameters. For example, we know that women take a very long time to heat up and a very long time to cool off. What is a long time? That's up to you to decide and to explore in yourself. But you cannot properly do this if there's still a bunch of trauma in the body, because you're not even in the body yet. You have to return to your seat of power, to your yoni, to your root chakra, to your sacral chakra, to those energetic centers that hold the root of your being, of your animal self, connecting it with your spiritual self. Some of the gifts and benefits and changes that come after going through this process is that you begin recognizing the appropriate sexual partners for you, and you begin recognizing the individuals that come to maybe move more of that trauma in yourself. A lot of the trauma that happens in relationship also gets healed in relationship. So, and this is part of the process, but if you have recognition and awareness over it, you won't repeat the same mistake twice. You won't repeat the same pattern twice. And I don't mean mistakes like we really make mistakes. I don't think that's really true. I think it's like everything, how we take on life, that determines whether it's a mistake or a lesson, right? So if it's a mistake, it's something that we repeat over and over and over again because we're just trapped in a loop. and we're just making a mistake because we are in a loop. But if we make a so-called mistake and have awareness over it and liberate ourselves from it, then it's a lesson. And it's like, whoa, I understand what this person came here to show me. And I take on the lesson. And the pattern doesn't have to repeat itself because you've extracted the gold from the situation. You've gathered the wisdom from it. The second benefit of doing this work is feeling confident and safe as a sexual woman, as a sexual being. Feeling like you can be in your sexuality, you can experience your animal self, connected to your heart, connected to your spirituality, inseparable. And the confidence that comes in that is that, you know, you realize that you have a right to be in this world and to walk in this world in safety and in pleasure and in love. And that's a feeling that you can't buy. You can artificially create it. That's a feeling that is earned through the alchemization of trauma into power. So, bullet points of what you can do if you experience sexual trauma. Number one, acknowledgement and awareness over what trauma is to you and what experiences created trauma in your life. Number two, observe your sexuality, observe your tendencies, observe how your sexuality moves. Is it overactive? Is it lustful? Is it repressed? Does it attract specific type of people? Do you feel sexually attracted to people you don't like and you like people that you're not sexually attracted to? All of those things are good to observe. Number three, make sure that you're reconnecting with your body and recreating, reestablishing that relationship in safety. And purify your emotions by allowing yourself the space to feel rage, to feel anger, to feel irritability, to feel shame, to feel all the feelings. And you become self-containing them. You don't expect other people to be like, yeah, it's okay to feel that. You know it's okay to feel that. You don't need them to tell you. And they tell you, you cannot feel that. You're like, thanks for your concern. Like, bye-bye. It's like, I'm in a process. I'm feeling this. And that self-containment, self-holding, that's where you're gonna find your true power. So if sexual trauma is something that you've struggled with and you've experienced in your life and you want to dive into this process of reframing it and transmuting all of the trauma into power, I'm going to be launching a new course next month. I'm gonna leave in the description box below the sign up sheet for the waitlist. And it's called Sexually Emancipated. And this is gonna be a course that's going to guide you through the process that I explained today of healing and transmuting all sexual trauma into raw sexual power using tantric practices. Why tantric practices? Because they are effective, they're to the point, they're quick, and it's not separated from your life. The magic of tantra is that you can use it as you're living your normal life, as you're here in like whatever life you've created, co-created. That's where you can experience tantra. So it's something that's going to bleed and weed through every single area of your life. It's gonna be 8 weeks, and you can take the course by itself, or we're also gonna have an option to add on group coaching if you feel like you need more support with this. So make sure you check the description box below, and I hope this video was helpful. I hope that if you've experienced this, that you're able to find some form of relief in the knowing that this was an initiation into your power and not something terrible that's going to mark you for life. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys next time.